The Fan on Demand.
Off the boards to center, and here's a break, a two-on-one. Kessel is loose. Bozak to Kessel. He scores! Perfect pass from the lead centerman. Phil Kessel has number 37.
Well, the call from Joe Bowen, and that seemed a positive start and maybe an indication of good things, great things to happen for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Phil Kessel scoring the 2:45 mark of the first period of play, but ultimately, it's a 4-2 win for the Winnipeg Jets over the Toronto Maple Leafs. And 41-25 were the shots on goal as well. Not a good night at all for what could be the final, certainly the final regular season home game at Air Canada Centre. But nights like tonight make it seem less likely that there will be any playoff action. Wow. Gord Stelnick, Rick Natras welcoming you to Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Leafs Radio Network, we'll open the phone lines at 870-590. Star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. And Rick, we said before the game, you control your destiny to a degree. Yep. The big thing, you can't come tonight and lay an egg. And that's exactly what
that
they
all worked.
Did.
They were that all worked.
Well, they were a little bit tight, but then beyond that, outskated everything else.
It just worked. They want to shoot the puck. You know, you get outworked. It's a tough game. You know, you could have – this is where – you would have wondered who was getting, you know, fighting for a playoff spot and who was already eliminated, because the fact of the matter is the compete one-on-ones, you got a guy that's got a breakaway when you're, you know, could take the lead. He gets hit in the midsection there, and unfortunately he's got to go off. But, you know what I mean?
Like, we're talking about Mason Raymond.
Yeah, I mean that kind of stuff. And, you know, we're losing battles. We're shooting pucks. Guys are off to the side of the net when, you know, when they actually do shoot pucks. So Pavlik looks like a Hall of Famer. And, Gord, it's just, you know what? It's frustrating in the fact that can't do nothing about it personally. But you think, you know, all or nothing. Again, this should have been all or nothing, because then worry about your next game on Tuesday. But, again, we know what we're going to say. We know how we're going to say it. We know what we're going to talk about. We're just not going to do it when it comes to doing it on the ice.
Well, even at the end of the eight-game losing streak, there was some pretty good compete and efforts the final couple of games, and then there were two wins, and this couldn't have been a worse script for the Toronto Maple Leafs
look
tonight.
Look at Boston. Look at this game. You're talking about one of the elite teams, if not the elite team in the National Hockey League right now with overall points for President's Trophy, and then you're talking about a Winnipeg team that was eliminated pretty much on Thursday because they didn't show up, and now they show up tonight because they were quoted as saying, their captain Ladd says, it would be great to help eliminate Toronto from the playoffs. If that doesn't pee off, I don't know what does. And again, we didn't see that emotion, and we see it well too late and after whistles. Anybody can be tough after a whistle.
Well, it was a dominant, impressive effort by the Winnipeg Jets and quite the opposite by the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Terrible.
We'll hear from head coach Randy Carlisle in a few minutes time and our usuals as well, but let's get to some of the callers. 870-590 star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Tyler in Cambridge. Hey, Tyler.
Hey, gentlemen, I wish we were speaking under better circumstances.
Yeah, not much we can do about it. Yeah.
No, there isn't. You know, as a Leaf fan all these years, I've endured a lot of things, but $7 million over 7 years, I'm not blaming him exclusively, Dion Phaneuf, who I'm speaking of, but I'm just looking at the captain to do something. You know what? Ignite your team. Lead your team. 3 years ago, he was voted most overrated player by Sports Illustrated, who polled 161 NHL players. These aren't editors. These are people who play the game and know who they're playing against. They told Sports Illustrated he was the most overrated player. And I empathize with Dave Nonis because he's under a lot of stress. He couldn't just let him walk because the other side of the fence says, who are you going to have to replace him? And it's, you can't. You have to just spread it out through everybody and realize that this is a guy in his late 20s who's not going to get faster with foot speed, with time, and he's not going to lead them to the promised land. I'm sorry to say, guys.
Yeah, well, and Nonis has options if he wanted to trade him as a hired gun or let him walk, but those weren't, as you say, very viable options. And it's interesting, you articulated the call quite well, but Rick, we got it was like Dion Phaneuf got it. We got a call or two every game last year about Dion Phaneuf. This year, to his credit, he had his best season as a Maple Leaf.
Yeah, up until the last 5 weeks. Last 5 weeks. And I think, Gordon, again, I come back to how he finished last year because of the fact that And they're overplaying him. He's playing way too many minutes. And there was a great article by, I can't remember who wrote it, but about they want him to be a Chris Pronger. He's just not a Chris Pronger, okay? That's the thing. Chris Pronger's a steady guy that can play a lot, could play a lot of minutes. But let's not mistake ourselves. There was only one Chris Pronger, as there was only one Bobby Orr, Niedermeyer, all these guys.
Or even Ryan Suter well, this nowadays. Is, there's yeah, only there's guys only that certain guys can play 30 minutes.
And they play, but they make smart plays. And I'm not saying this. My problem with that is Deion, even after the rest, he came back, and he wasn't the same. Minus 17 now, Gord. 15 in the month of March. Another minus today.
Something like minus 18 whatever. That's my point is this.
But, again, it's as much as we want to blame him, if anybody could tell me specifically it was his fault in the defensive zone tonight, then they weren't watching the other four players. As a team, it was atrocious to play in such a game that you could have eliminated somebody in regards to, you know, keep Winnipeg down because they're already out, and then you play like that and turn your back as often as they do, Gord, and don't face the puck, and then, what, commit? Don't commit really to blocking the shot, please. I'm tired.
Andrew in London. Andrew, welcome to Leafs Nation postgame.
How you doing, Gordon, Rick? I'll tell you, I got this problem solved for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Okay,
starting
share
tonight,
it.
You put on the Boston Bruins or one of them teams that can move the puck out of their own end. It's not Panuk. It's not one guy on this Leaf team.
That's right. It's
everybody. The whole team.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you, you will let them watch that tonight. Never mind bringing the golf clubs next week because you're going to Florida. And then the beginning of training camp next year, you put just defense. Move the puck from behind your own net out. When Kessel stays on the ice for 1.5 minutes and these guys overstay their welcome on the ice, they lose the puck all the time. But they cannot move the puck, and it happened from game one. It happened tonight, and it'll probably happen the next three games. They cannot move the puck out of their own end, whether it's hitting their own player or whether they're bouncing into each other or the goaltender is shooting the puck at them. But it's a whole team effort here. It's not one guy, Panuffina. They can score goals, and they can do their thing. They just can't move the puck out.
And, Rick, we talked about whether it's Panuff or Fanuff, whatever it may be. It's if there's a silver lining in the 8-game losing streak, such a thing is things have to probably be looked at a little bit harder.
Well,
if you coasted in the playoffs, I think you get away with more. And just what the caller was saying about whether it's moving the puck generally. Today, tonight, like you said, it's a write-off. You can't. There's 20 guys.
It was a bad team effort.
You could have had seven Winnipeg Jet players as stars before you probably got to a Leaf.
And it's unfortunate because I felt the first period at Winnipeg was not that good, and it was a game that you could have took. But, again, you didn't want to compete in the hard areas, and this is what confuses me and troubles me at the most part. And when they did have the puck in many situations, it was isolation. Isolation, Gord, that long pass. Well, it looks pretty, but if you're not going 900 miles an hour and you're anybody but Phil Kessel, it didn't work, and it hasn't worked, and it certainly didn't work again tonight.
Tom in Hamilton, welcome to Leafs Nation postgame. Tom?
How you doing, guys? I echo a couple of caller sentiments there. It's just that, you know, in this cap era, and it's systemic. The Leafs have this organization has this tendency of overrating to their own talent, underestimating talent they let go, and look how they thrive in other teams and through the years and that. But, or you know, defensively, they're as a whole, the team sucks.
Yeah.
It's terrible. You know, I don't care who you put in that. It's not going to make any damn bit of difference because they're just shooting themselves in the foot, and tonight was the night to compete.
Yeah.
Winnipeg, definitely, they outfought them, outplayed them, did everything tonight, and this, you would have swore to God, yes, Winnipeg was fighting for the playoff life. And, you know, four games left to go. What happens at the end of the year? These guys really got to sit down, and the organization has got to sit down and say, you know, we maybe have to blow this thing up, or we've got to make some moves here, but I think they're pretty hamstring. They just can't do it either.
Well, yeah, and I'll allude to that. Yeah, the salary cap certainly is a problem. And then when we talk, and I wanted to get about Phaneuf earlier on. If you looked at his numbers when that contract was out, he was in the top five guys for minutes, you know, positive start times in the defensive zone, plus minus, all these kind of things. So, again, if you're thinking an unrestricted free agent, and again, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't in that scenario with Deion in regards to Nonis. But, again, the Leaf team, I don't understand this Leaf, the concept of playing defense. You know, I talked to a couple people after the game briefly, and again, it's not an anticipation team. It's a reaction team. And if you're reacting in your own end, you're usually a step behind. If you weren't the first time, you might be the second time. For sure, you will be the third time, and we saw a lot of that tonight.
Well, I know exactly. And again, we could go over it all about what's gone on this season. But one simple thing, and we've mentioned it before, but tonight when and by the way, they gave up 41 shots tonight. So you talk about the worst script. Your own building, that one, you give 41 shots. The lack of communication.
Oh.
And you know, it's whether you play house league hockey or anything, about guys on the ice that are talking, whatever, and teams, you've been with great teams, you've been with ordinary teams, and those teams just seem to have little things that way.
Communication is
There was zero. From Reimer, who's not the greatest puck handler, to where it's going, to the D in general.
And they're staring at each other, Gordon. I get your point. And, to me, I don't understand that. I understand, when you're in the game and when your game is on, that's part of your package. That's part of not. I'm not just talking about a goaltender. I'm not talking about D. I'm talking about every player. When you're on your game and mentally into the game, you're talking. You're communicating. You know what I mean? You're telling your forwards or your defenseman or your goaltender exactly what's going on around them, so they don't have to look over their shoulder and they don't have to hesitate. Because in this game again, and tonight we saw it, if you hesitate for a half a second, I don't care if your team not in the playoffs or your team fighting for the playoffs. You hesitate for half a second or even longer, a second, you're done offensively, defensively, all three zones, and we saw a lot of hesitation tonight by the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Take one more before the break, okay. And then, of course, when we get Randy Carlisle, and of course, other callers hang in there as well, because we'll get you on at some point. It's a tough night, a 4-2 loss for the Toronto Maple Leafs against the Winnipeg Jets. Steve in Etobicoke. Steve.
Hey, guys. You know, I'm a longtime Leaf fan, and I'm just tired of these epic collapses. Game 7 last year and 7 straight losses this year. I don't know which is worse, but, you know, how can you not be pumped up in your final home game of the regular season and not play a game with what's at stake here? I don't even know if there's a defensive system in place. I don't think they're listening to Carlisle. There's some sort of disconnect. Is Carlisle gone next year? And I like him. I think he's a good coach, but I don't know. Has he lost the room? They're not listening to him. They're not following his system. What do you guys think?
Well, there's a guy sitting in the second row. He was dressed very casual tonight, named Tim Leiwicki. So it doesn't matter what we all think. I mean, we'll offer our opinions. He thinks very differently. So I don't know. So that question.
Patience isn't one of his virtues.
Exactly. Yeah. So whether it's, you know, that type of thing. He likes to get involved. He's done a lot with the soccer team. He's seen results happen with the Raptors team.
He could do stuff with the soccer team, though. Like, it was a little different scenario.
Then the Raptors, he switched general manager. And all I'm saying, rightly or wrongly, he'll be a little bit more anxious to make a coaching move if he decides one needs to be.
This won't be acceptable. I don't think it is. He took a year to, you know, certainly get his feet wet in the organization. And we're talking about the hockey team because he's stated many times, Leiwicki, that, you know, this is going to be the toughest out of the organizations to, you know, get going in the right direction. I just want to, you know, allude to, again, this commitment to defense is the willingness to do things, Gordon, work hard at it. You know, you can't teach a guy, and again, I've said this numerous times, as you can't teach somebody how to be a goal scorer. You can make them shoot the puck better, but goal scorers are goal scorers. They're born. Defense is hard work, and the willingness to get in your body in a shooting lane and your body in it to protect pucks. And we don't see a lot of protection. We see a lot of pucks being hanged out to dry there, and that's why you lose possession. And the other fact is not everybody's willing to take a slap shot in the midsection to get a breakaway.
Well, and the caller mentioned tired of seeing these epic collapses. And Thursday, that's what I feared when the Leafs had the lead against the Boston Bruins. The good news tonight, there was no collapse.
No.
There was just no show-up. That absolutely just was
Yeah, real quick before we have to break, is Randy Carlisle, too, as much as you can say, that let's get somebody better, who's better?
Well, let's
find out.
That's
the point. Who's better?
Let's get Randy Carlisle to answer.
Started with the end of the first, where we give up a goal with 2 seconds left. I think, you know, we had a fortunate bounce on a power play to give us a 2-1 lead. I think the Kadri goal, you'd have to say, it was a fortunate bounce that went our way. And, it just seemed like we were a flat hockey club. From that point, we chased the game. And we didn't seem to have any energy as a group. And that's the way I saw it. And it seemed like we were chasing the game, the pace of the game. They won more one-on-one battles than we did, that's for sure.
Randy, how do you explain that flatness in a game where you're desperate to win a hockey game?
I wish I had the answer. Is it your night, the lack of energy? Is it your night where we seemed we couldn't make two passes? We must have had 5 opportunities to get that puck out of the zone on the one shift, and we didn't get it out. five different people had an opportunity to control the puck and to make a play with it. And we just couldn't get it out. And those are the things. And then everything kind of snowballed from there.
Has this team ever stopped befuddling you, or do they remain somewhat of an enigma to you this season?
Well, we seem to find ways to always wonder what the heck is going on. Why? What's going on there? Why are we reacting in that manner? And that's the frustrating part for us is that when we are able to execute and our work ethic is strong, that we're a hockey club that can give teams difficulty and play to a high level. But our consistency level it goes from game to game and sometimes period to period.
It seems to me, Randy, you want them to play a meat and potatoes game, and they want every goal to be a highlight reel goal.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's true. I think we do overpass at times. You know, I think that if you look at the way the game is played, the teams that are having success they keep it very simple. They don't complicate the game. And at times we seem to want to complicate it. And when it's, you know, 2-2 game and a 1-1 game or a one-goal hockey game, we're better served at times to put the puck in and go retrieve it through work ethic versus try the skill move. And I think at times we've been better at it, but I think in nights like tonight, then it's one of those where the individual thinks that maybe he is going to make the difference, and we play as individuals, not as a team.
You mentioned a little while ago a couple of chances or five chances to get the puck out and it didn't get out. That's happened to your team a fair bit this season. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're talking about there, trying to make it more complicated rather than do the simple play?
From where we're sitting, it's obviously easier from where we are. There's nobody out there, trying to take it away from you, and there's nobody, physically beating you to a puck. The one thing that we didn't do tonight is we didn't skate. And when we do that, when we play like that, we're not taking any strides with the puck. We're standing still making a play. And the opposition looks like they're overwhelming us because we're standing still and they're skating.
Dave Boland didn't play much tonight. Was that a coach's decision? No, the
thing was is he's rolled his ankle a couple of times. He's fine, but it rolls. The one time he was right in front of our bench, he went down. He rolls that ankle. So it's kind of like the plan. It was just to give him some minutes, to give him an opportunity, and it just worked out that when we lost Lupel, after the second period, it was, then you only had 10 forwards to go to.
What happened to Lupel after that?
He re-aggravated his injury.
Last question, Lance. Just wondered about. Sorry if you were asked already about the upcoming week. Clearly, you got to get a lot of help and win all three.
No, we got to get ourselves ready. We got to re-energize our group because we were a flat group tonight. We were a flat hockey club, and we just didn't seem to have any jump that was required. And our execution was, we were slapping the puck around. The puck was rolling. How many passes on the power play did we make that went into people's feet? And it was cleared. We cleared the zone a couple times by ourselves. That's when that frustration and that paralysis seemed to take hold.
Thanks, Randy.
Yeah. Well, Toronto Maple Leaf head coach Randy Carlyle. We'll take a break, catch up a bit. We still welcome your calls as well. We'll check in with Chris Johnston in a few minutes' time. But it's, as he said, the team was flat. Inexplicably, it happens, but a game like tonight, when you least wanted it, least expected it, that was it. The result, a 4-2 win for the Winnipeg Jets over the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll come back with more Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelick and Rick Natras with you on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
The game is the meal. We're the after-dinner drinks. Pour yourself a cold one. Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Bounces in front of the Leaf goal. A pass by Frolik to the far side. They score! Frolik makes a great pass on the far side. And it is Brian Little who is stationed there. And he snaps it by Reimer to tie the game.
Well, you heard the call of Joe Bowie mentioned Kessel had scored the 245 mark and thought maybe this was going to be a cakewalk, but no. Quite the opposite, and that was the first marker there at the 622 mark. So about less than 4 minutes later, Brian Little evens things up, and the Jets ultimately win 4-2 over the Toronto Maple Leafs, who welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Steldick, Rick Natras with you on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. Tell you what, we have some callers. We'll get back to them at some point because we appreciate everyone's enthusiasm, opinions, and thoughts, as we do of Chris Johnston, joining us from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca. And I know, Chris, part of the hype is you're heading down tomorrow. The team's heading down a day early, so it was to view Monday's practice and the game as well. This is a big setback tonight. We have Chris there?
Sure, they're calling right now.
Okay. I thought you had him there. Okay. We'll get Chris in a second. We're just teeing him up right now. So, Rick, as I gave that great entrance there
you
about
did.
What went on, it was masterful.
Yeah.
But talking about the setback, it's still not done yet. You have to run the table. Don't give me the look like that. It's still not done. I know
you
that.
You know, and I'm positive, and I try to
that
be.
Look
I know Ozzie bugs me. No, I know it is.
Ozzie bugs you anyway.
I was trying to get that. You know, how can you expect, even if you got in, I mean, what is that? I mean, this is do or die, and if this could be your last game as a Leaf, as a player, would anyone sit there in the mirror and say they were satisfied with their effort and their commitment level? My biggest concern with this is if when you're at the elimination, you should either be winning or getting carried off on a stretcher because, you know, you did something that almost took your life from you. I didn't see the commitment in a lot of areas for that. You know, break my ankle, but you're not going to get the puck by me. And what we saw was, I'll sort of get to the lane, I'll sort of do this, but I won't accomplish anything.
We've hooked up with Chris Johnston from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca. I was just saying about, you know, I know you're heading down early. A lot of people are. The Leafs are heading a day early, anticipating a big week ahead. But you had to take care of business a lot better tonight before you thought about the three games on the road and sunny Florida and all that.
Yep, this is going to be the death march now, this final week. I mean, you know, the Leafs needed a lot to go right anyway, as it is. I mean, really, this season, in my mind, is lost on that eight-game losing streak all in regulation. But, you know, now we're going to kind of see the end of this thing, you know, as it plays out here the final week.
Yeah, Chris, I mean, again, I thought the first period there was an opportunity. I didn't think Winnipeg looked that sharp early. But again, we watched Toronto and they weren't anywhere, you know, any better. So as the game wore on, Winnipeg got better. They're more committed to winning the battles and getting pucks out of their own end. And it was one of those games, again, that when we did have an opportunity, the Leafs had an opportunity, it was isolation, one man standing on an island rather than having five guys that are, you know, consistently around the puck.
Well, from where I was sitting, I really didn't think the Leafs ever got on track tonight. You know, they got the first goal, you know, in a power play situation. The second one, the first one, I guess, was Kessel's, and the second one was a gift on the power play to Kadri. You know, they were lucky even then, I thought, to be ahead 2-1. And obviously, that goal late in the second to tie it for Winnipeg after, you know, the Leafs did have a chance to clear the zone on that one. You know, I think that clearly is where things started to turn. And you're right, they just, you know, we've seen this kind of a consistent trait, especially here in the second half of the year, that the Leafs, you know, they do get frozen. I don't know if it's deer in the headlights or what it is, but, you know, when things start going the other way, they just weren't able to find any amount of momentum, even though really, you know, the third period starts where they got 90 seconds or so of a power play and they're only down by a goal and still very much in the hockey game. But, you know, I think the most disappointing thing of all for the Leafs tonight, you know, it goes without saying, is that, you know, to a man, they felt they were outworked and outplayed. And, you know, a few of them said that in their post-game comments to reporters, and no one shied away from it, but I don't think anyone has an answer about how it could happen here tonight.
Well, and you know, you look at it as well, that I can give them some slack for being a little nervous or tentative or whatever, uptight, put it that way, which they were. But then the other things, as we say, as it played itself out, that one, it's inexplicable. And the end of the game, it was, you know, I know teams are always pumped when they win, but it was something about the Jets that, like, did the roles reverse? Did the Jets think they got in the playoffs? They won tonight.
They were jubilant
over the on the bench there. Paul Maurice shaking everyone's hand. Not that he has a burr against the Toronto Maple Leafs, but he used to be a coach here. You know, and it was really, really perplexing about this great night out for the Winnipeg Jets and the Toronto Maple Leafs just deciding this wasn't the way it was going to go.
Yeah, you know, I think more than anything, what that reflects is how tough it is, you know, for them to come here. They were just eliminated in their last loss at home before flying here. I think that just shows how tough it was for them to rally and play a good game. And I think, you know, they were probably proud of themselves for showing up and putting in a good effort and obviously spoiling the Leafs night. You know, I mean, you know, there's probably a little extra juice too with Hockey Night in Canada and being in Toronto and all that stuff. But, you know, I think what it was really is that the Jets were proud of themselves for showing up here tonight. And you know, I think that the reverse is true for the Leafs, that they clearly didn't do that in a game they had to have. And you know, that's what I guess everyone's focused on here is just trying to figure out, you know, what happened this season, exactly why this happened and why, you know, really consistently happened, you know, throughout the year. And I think the Leafs' defensive shortcomings caught up with them. You know, it was evident on the goals here again tonight. And, you know, as we move forward here, that'll be the biggest question management is looking to answer is what kind of players they can acquire and what kind of system that they need to play to, you know, be better at that end of the ice.
Yeah, Chris, and we talked, you know, I talked to a couple of people just after the game. And again, and we've talked all year long about the system, certainly in the defensive zone. They don't want to be called a rush team, but what else are they? They're not a cycle team, they're, you know, on a consistent basis. But what they are in the defensive zone is a reactionary team rather than an anticipation team. And I think the willingness to get the inside early, as I've said many times, work hard early so you don't have to work harder longer later. And I think that was their downfall.
Well, and, you know, there must be some personnel, I think, decisions in that too that'll need to be made because for whatever reason, I think we saw this group, an unwilling group in a lot of ways to button things up or incapable if they were unwilling. And that, you know, is something that's caught up with them. You know, again, here tonight, I mean, I'm scratching my head trying to comprehend, you know, outshot 41-25 against a non-playoff team that was missing one of basically their best pure offensive player in Evander Kane tonight, even though I know he's had a tough season. He's, you know, he's in my eyes, they're best natural forward. And in a game the Leafs have to have, you know, I don't have a lot of answers right now, and I don't think a lot of people around the Leafs do either.
Hey, you know what? We'll chat with you Tuesday and try to get some more answers, because you're right. It's a game as we keep going back to the same thing. We've got all kinds of callers that where they have answers, they certainly have vents. So we'll get back to them. But, Chris, thanks as always.
Thanks,
we'll
Chris.
We'll chat with you from sunny Florida and hopefully maybe some sunnier topics to chat about.
Yeah, guys, I think the only good news in this for the Leafs is that they finished with 3 road games, because I think it would have been pretty ugly here next week if these games were played at home.
Yeah. I would agree.
Thanks
I
a lot.
Would agree.
Chris
Thanks,
Johnston,
Chris.
Joining us from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca. We've got to take another break. When we come back, again, if you've been hanging in, please hang on the phone lines. All kinds of callers want to get on for Leafs Nation postgame. 870-590, *590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Gord Stellick, Rick Natras, Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Analysis and insight that you can't get anywhere else. Leafs Nation postgame with Gord Stellick and Rick Natras on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Boland trying to work it out, couldn't get it past the blue line. Now Wheeler in with a pass. That was partially blocked. Centering pass, they score! Olli Jokinen scores to make it 4-2.
Well, Olli Jokinen, and not meant as a shot, but someone that doesn't play a lot of postseason action, to say the least. That was the fourth goal and the final sword in the Toronto Maple Leafs. A 4-2 win for the Winnipeg Jets over the Toronto Maple Leafs. We welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Rick Natras here at Air Canada Centre on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. We'll squeeze in a few more callers. Jan in Toronto. Hey, Jan.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
We're hanging in.
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, I shouldn't even ask that question, for real. Yeah, I'm just going to say, like, I have a few points. I just want to see your opinions on this. Like, the season's done, but it's still my team. So, you know what? I'm looking to the next year now. And, like, I've been watching or listening to every game, and I made a small list. Like, these are the players that are going to go, in my opinion. Raymond Franzen, he doesn't use his body. Raymond, he's soft, he curls, always turns the puck over. And Lupo, we got to get rid of him right now because he's always injured. So he's not going to have any value after. To take these guys out, I would replace them with type of guys with character, like, for example, Evander Kane or Callahan, because they're power forwards. This is what we're missing on the team. And I'm not saying those two guys in particular, but I think we should get them. When we draft, I think we should go for Nick Ritchie. If we can't get him, we'll go for Ivan Barbashev. And last point I wanted to make is Tim Lawicki was talking. He was kind of calling the Leafs out. He was saying they should look at the Raptors and KFC with players for players that play with heart. And he brought as an example Lowry and Bradley, Michael Bradley, right?
Yeah.
So in my opinion, I have faith that the type of guys that are going to join this team from now on are going to have heart. And I'm sure that Tim Lawicki, he's a super hands-on manager, so he's going to have a hand in this. And I think that our future is bright. Thank you, guys.
Okay, thanks. I mean, Evander Kane's a guy the Winnipeg Jets.
They don't feel he's a character.
They're not big
guy,
about
yeah.
him, but
he's another guy that loves to play with the puck, but doesn't like to play without it. So, yeah.
And Yan's been a guy called a number of times. And people putting the shopping list together. First of all, the draft. Your amateur scouts have to get the best guy available. They think whenever you're picking. But that won't help you next year. The other things, you're right, about addressing certain things. Joffrey Lupul got hurt again tonight, or re-injured again tonight. So there's a lot of points that way about in our post-mortems.
I mean, he's a contract that is going to be hard to get rid of everybody. I mean, he's a guy that signed a long-term. He had some, you know, a little bit of success when he was in the lineup the last year and a half. I mean, other than this year, I mean, and he's a 20-goal guy. So I guess, I mean, there might be somebody, but he's making 5.25, I believe, as well. So, I mean, they've got some issues. And, of course, they wanted the Bolin thing. They wanted the Clarks and the Bernier. I think they made some moves that, unfortunately, the Bolin, you didn't see what could be. And I'm not sure you're ever going to see that again because, again, he's going to get an awful, pretty good chunk of money for a long term. And I don't know if with the salary cap and the way it is that Toronto can do it. Again, Clarkson, very disappointing year, probably one of the worst as a free agent. But I think that the defense has certainly got to be, if you've got a stronger defense, we're talking about two guys, Gord, like Riley and Gardner. I said they've got opportunities to move the puck and they can skate it out. But can you name anybody else of the other five guys that are really capable of either skating the puck out or that first pass? I think the biggest concern for me with a lineup on the front side with the forwards like that is you have to have D that can do both, because if you don't and you can't get that puck out and you're certainly not capable of skating it out, you're ending up too much time in your own end.
Rob in Scarborough. Hey, Rob, welcome to Leafs Nation postgame.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I watched probably about 240 hours of Leafs this year, another couple thousand hours of talk radio, and who knows how many other tweets. And I think we all know what's wrong, and nobody seems to know how to fix it, including Carlisle. I did hear some of his interview after the game. That was kind of sad. He sounded quite defeated. And I guess the other thing that we don't know is what Lewicki's going to do, because I think he's been pretty clear in his sort of saber-rattling over the past few weeks that if the Leafs made the playoffs, he'd be hands-off and he wouldn't do anything. And if they didn't, he'd understand that there was a problem and he'd take steps. So anybody who thinks that they know what Nonis is going to do and isn't going to do is leaving out the fact that Nonis has a boss. And I guess we're going to have to wait to see what Tim Lawicki is going to do.
Yeah, good point, yeah.
And an earlier caller mentioned that as well. And I was just about – he seemed to be challenging the team in the media a couple of days ago. And the boss is the boss is the boss. And whether it's somebody eccentric like Harold Ballard, for example, was years ago, whether it's a slick corporate entity in some other place like, well, actually New York's no longer that. They've got a owner that can be a little off-center as well at times in his thoughts, but is very loyal with Glenn Sather as general manager. But to say the least.
You say the least, but there's got to be pitchers.
I know,
in
the Dolan family could be rather interesting as well, so they're not the slick corporate types.
But again, as much as everybody thinks that Lewicki can come in, again, they're committed to certain things. I think Dion's contract had to go through some channels before it was actually proposed and signed. So it's not like Nonis just said, okay, Dion, here's $49 million and I did it all my own and don't tell anybody. It was a commitment by the organization of $50 million. When you hand out that kind of money, you got to get other people to approve it. Lewicki, so there is issues with that, but again, the kind of players that they're looking for, and again, if we're talking character, I think every one of them have character, okay? Are we talking grit and the ability to play tight games? Then we're talking about two different things, because you don't make it to the National Hockey League without character, Gord, but you need certain guys to play certain ways and be committed to it. And I talked about this the other day. Unfortunately, the third line with McClement, Bodie, and Kuhlman couldn't perform the way they did against Boston and for two-thirds of the game previous against Calgary. But those bottom six guys are the guys that are going to be your meat and potatoes, and that will dictate the abilities of your top two lines to get more offensive going because you're wearing teams down. We talked all year that the Leafs are tough, this and that. And the other thing, well, we talk about a Cody Franson that's second or third in the National Hockey League for hits, and I don't see it, okay? I don't see it. But to tell me that this team was effective on the forecheck that punishes other teams, that's the biggest misconception that I have, that they wore teams down. They did not wear teams down. They tried to beat them with their speed. They did not beat them with speed and physicality, and you can't have one without the other.
And the challenge for management is when you're losing, it's always easy to blow things up. And you have to identify who the right people to be patient
that's what,
are
no, but that's what
and
I'm
the
saying,
right
yeah.
moves so we don't have another Steen situation, him playing in St. Louis, whatever it may be. So that's where Dave Nonis, where last year was a bit of a honeymoon. A lot of people didn't expect getting in the playoffs, so they had the 48-game season. They had the Game 7, went to Game 7 against Boston, which if you just got rid of that three-goal lead, it was an impressive season.
Well, in Game 5 and Game 6, like we always forget about that because the last 11 minutes, that took character to come back on a Boston Bruins team. Maybe wasn't at its peak, but certainly they got better as the series went on. Again, what you're looking for is the opportunity. Is Nazem Kadri somebody that you can define right now? I say no. Is a Morgan Riley, he's going to be an all-star, but we still need him to be better and to grow. He's a young man. Does Jake Gardner, is he another guy that we could say, oh, you know, hang on to him. We can put up with his mistake. Is he a guy that you can be better with and help him play better defensively? Because we know he can do the other things. So these are the questions and the challenges, not only as an organization, but as individuals.
Leo in Waterloo. Hey, Leo.
Hey, fellas, you know, I just want to say that this is almost a blessing in disguise because this is, it would have gone to next game and next game. Like, this pretty much diminishes the opportunities of making it in the playoffs, and Boston did solidify the number one spot. So that would have meant even if the Leafs made it in, it would have been a repeat of last year, but I can pretty much, well, I think a lot would agree that it would have been just slaughterhouse, given the way this team has played for the last month and a half. What's happened with them, you know, game in, game out. At the beginning of every game, listen to you guys after the game, listen to you guys talk with you once in a while here and there. But it's always the same. This is a recording, and nobody's got something that's tangible to say, okay, let's look at this, maybe that kind of thing. And it's all over the place. There is no one answer. There is a whole bunch of questions with a whole bunch of different scenarios to play with. And, you know, something, it's not a slight against Dion Phaneuf. There's been a lot of talk about Phaneuf. And, you know, something, I don't think that he's not a bad player.
No.
I think too much has been put on his plate. He plays 21, 22, 23 minutes, game in, game out. He is the captain. There's talk about him inspiring his team and all these things. I just don't think that he's capable of taking that much on. It's too much for him. It's been good for some past captains, yeah, but maybe, you know, next year there may be a change with that. But I certainly wouldn't say that, oh, it was bad to sign him and these kinds of things. Like, no, he's got talent. He knows what to do. Just like there's the deer in the headlight things happening, not just with but with the forwards, whenever the puck's in our zone, everybody turns their head real quick to see who's coming, and then there's a bumble, and then the puck's coughed up, and it's stolen, or something happens, and, you know, 30 seconds, 45 seconds in our zone, and goodbye, right?
Yeah, we're going to appreciate the call, Leo. We've appreciated it throughout the year.
One thing
is interesting, Dion's comments as captain.
Yeah, we read it.
Can
I read it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to read it, and what it says is, I don't think we've got outworked. And that to me is, you know, and that's just not, I find, but we didn't do things, but things happen when we didn't get it. So he believes didn't get outworked. And again, I'm not turning this into Dion because I think he's a National Hockey League player and I think he's a top four guy. I just don't think he's a number one guy that can play 24 minutes. And that, so if he's not, and Gord, I've been saying this for 2 years, if he's not your number one, then what's your five and six guys then? Do you understand what
no
I mean?
No doubt about it. But the other thing is when you're captain, he sounds like the corporate guy.
He sounds like Kadri.
Have some
pizzazz
and personality.
JVR,
get pissed off or
Kessel.
Something. Like, whatever.
He sounds like
he
all
thought they didn't get outworked tonight.
Well,
are you kidding me?
That's I agree 100%.
He's got
that.
No future as a skilled analyst like we're doing right now, if that's what he
especially
thinks.
Especially from up here because we played a perfect game. But
it's a lot more difficult to play
but
up
again,
here.
But again, I would have liked to say, I would have liked from him, and that does bother me that he says that, that I would like to have said, you know what? They outworked us. We weren't ready to play. Yeah. I wish I had an answer for you, but I don't. We talked about it. We tried to convince people, and we couldn't even convince ourselves. So that's very disappointing in the sense of, but I've been talking about this stuff all for 3 years I've been doing this show, Gord. It's one thing to give the straight, you know, the hockey player answers, but sometimes you got to be real.
Well, a night like tonight.
You know, when we talked about, you know, what can I say to you? We've been getting outworked, and I've been talking all year. Tonight is the night that I should be honest with you. I can't tell you why we're getting outworked, but we are. And tonight was tonight. If they didn't think they got outworked, then really, really they felt 8 games wasn't a bad losing streak.
Well, 4-2 they lost, 41 shots, 41-25 against, and they certainly did get outworked. Our man, David Aalto, give us a little bit more of the sense of things in the dressing room when he joins us next. We'll come back with more Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelnick, Rick Natras here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Once the skates come off, it's game on for us. Leafs Nation postgame with Gord Stelnick and Rick Natras on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Welcome back, Leafs Nation postgame, a deserted Air Canada Center. Gord Stelnick, Rick Natras here, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, and talking about the 4-2 loss against the Winnipeg Jets. And David Aalto is here, just down in the dressing room. We'll hear from some of the players later on. And we're just saying Dion Phaneuf's comment about not thinking they got outworked or whatever.
And Connor, then I got a Boland comment, and I'm not sure who it's from, but he says, I can tell you one thing, we did get outworked.
There
there's you go, right? You got guys saying one thing, guys doing another. And certainly I'm not attacking Dion, and I'm not talking about Boland, but to me, that's been the problem. I don't think really you have guys that are truly understanding, you know, and the other ones that
do. And the contrast to that is some guys know they wear their heart on the sleeve, they're going to say how they feel, and some are just going to say, well, look, we have to keep a positive spin, and they don't want to admit any sort of negativity in the room. So I can kind of see it from both sides. But
no, you understand it, but you don't get it, because honesty is, you know, the best policy now.
but if you want to know what the vibe was in the room, I wish I could tell you. But the problem is, and the fact of the matter is, that when things aren't going so well and they open up the room, especially here, you start to go into the room and see nobody there. Like, the equipment's already gone, and they've already gone to the back end. And then guys start coming out, whether you request them or not. So at that point, it's a matter of, okay, well, whoever's going to come out, you're going to be able to gauge their emotion and their feeling on it. And obviously, they're not going to be upset. They're not going to be happy about this kind of performance. But you really don't know what the sense is, because you get in there and everyone's gone. So that happens when the team's going through something like that, that they, you know, they don't all come out to just kind of atone for it, and some guys get requested and they're just not always necessarily there. So that happens when things aren't going well, and that's been my experience. But when things are going well, you can see the usually there's more.
Well,
guys
it's a lot of course. You know what I mean?
I wish I could answer. You probably will get a better gauge of that at their next practice, which will probably be Monday in Florida.
Who are the best stand-up guys there? Like, just, you know, through thick and thin, that come up and talk.
James,
you know, where you already pretty much know the answer and are close to what you believe is the answer.
In terms of what? The most straight up guys?
Yeah, that's what I mean. That Sake would come out and say, rather than guys that are talking, and we know certainly likes to talk.
Nazem Kadri is one of those guys. James Reimer is usually pretty forthright. Honest?
Yeah. Tell me Nazem Kadri is honest about the game and how he played and how the team played.
No, I'm saying he's usually pretty honest and forthright when you talk to him.
I was saying about stand-up guys in general. So he comes out.
Stand-up guys are guys who make themselves available. Usually there's more guys who will do it more than not. But Cody Franson's usually one of the go-to guys in that respect as well. When things are tough or things are going good, or it's someone that you can talk to there. There's a lot of good guys. It's hard to kind of single out.
I believe they're all good guys, and I'm just saying
that. But, I mean, That's not the question right now. The question is, why did they put out the kind of poor performance that they have?
Yeah, and why, well, and why does and one no believe matter, he doesn't and yeah. one believe he does? That's
well, look,
the problem.
There's things when things are not going well, there's going to be a difference of opinion. And certainly that difference of opinion has always been there. But when losses start to mount and the reality starts to set in, which is getting closer and closer and closer to that mathematically eliminated spot, yeah. you're going to get more guys candid and some guys still towing the line of positivity. And that's where you're getting the dichotomy of responses. Okay. Look, I don't agree with what Dion Phaneuf said. I do think that they were completely outworked, especially in that second period. It was hard to watch. It was hard to watch in that respect.
I'm just glad I didn't have to pay, but
yeah.
seriously.
The leadership thing as well, when you talk about, I'm trying to think who the leaders may be, and you look at it that, Dion Phaneuf's a guy that, okay, he's the captain. Kessel doesn't talk, okay, radio, by and large. He likes his role. I mean, Joffrey Leupold seemed to be the matinee idol last year. I'm just trying. You know what I mean? I'm thinking because a game like tonight. That's what I'm saying is it didn't. It
two
didn't,
periods. We lost them after the.
But
second.
But we lacked guys to. I mean, we always love stories. Someone like Mark Messi or whatever grabbing the guy. Well, that's okay. That's folklore. I just mean something about a guy. Just and that's what I'm wondering. And when I hear Dion saying that, I'm thinking, well, if he thinks he's working hard enough, and other guys think they are, well, now I know why the last 40 minutes
and
it's not that big
saying,
whoop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's a lot of it is when you're in that position and you don't want some guys don't want to admit failure or don't want to admit certain things or think things can kind of get misconstrued. Well, so, I mean, I disagree with what Dion Phaneuf said in that respect. I think Dave Bolden was more spot on and more upfront yeah. about things, even though he didn't really say a lot about it either. I mean, how could you? How could you when you're in that spot, what can you possibly say that wouldn't get you
in sort of
trouble from a team standpoint as well, when you're trying to still keep things in the perspective, when you're still 1 point out. I know it looks bleak, but at this point, for as bad as they played, they still have games ahead of them. And I know they're not exuding confidence right now in terms of the way that they're playing, but I can understand it from both sides about why they don't just want to kind of throw anyone under the bus in terms of being why they played as bad as they played. Injuries could be the reason. I'm sure we're going to hear a lot of injury excuses once the regular season's done at the end of locker cleanups that they usually do, and that's probably
part
one of
those
as well.
You know what I mean? At the end of the day, so we'll just get a list of.
It just becomes harder and harder to be honest and not get thrown under the bus.
I don't know. I spent almost 12 years doing it, and I just felt that, you know, at the end of the day, when you're true leadership, you say it the way it is, not the way you think you can get away with it. And unfortunately, this year to me was comments and quotes about getting away like we're all stupid or something. Half of us, the fans, are, you know, not that intelligent. We're not that intelligent. And the point of the matter is, at 79 games, and if you can't figure out that you got outworked, then there's a problem.
Well, it's, you know, it, and you don't have to throw anybody under the bus.
No.
I mean, that was the whole thing. And I just, again, like I said,
honesty.
It's about substance.
Honest work, honest
substance
answer.
Substance and style, yeah. But in the corporate way, whatever, I guess. They just come out and said that type of thing. But we'll hear from some of the players a little bit later on. Tough one tonight for the Toronto Maple Leafs. David, thanks as always.
I appreciate it, guys.
David Alter, our man covering the Toronto Maple Leafs here for Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We will be going off the network hour, so if our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, will carry on there. Some of the other stations, we'll be on Sportsnet590.ca if you want to hear us for another hour as you try to dissect and figure it out. A tough loss tonight. There's no joy at Air Canada Centre. 4-2. The Winnipeg Jets defeat the Toronto Maple Leafs. 6 more possible points they can get next week. We'll come back and talk about that. Stellick, Natras, Leafs Nation postgame.
The game may end, but the analysis never will. Now, Leafs Nation postgame with Gord Stellick and Rick Natras on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Toronto Maple Leafs will embark on a 3-game road trip to end the season, but they have laid an egg here in their final home game against the Winnipeg Jets.
Well, certainly did. Joe Bowen with the final call. That's the way it was. A 4-2 win by the Winnipeg Jets over the Toronto Maple Leafs. and laying an egg, whatever you want to call it. That's been the topic du jour on Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Rick Naptis here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. Just a couple of minutes before we break, Rick, and then we'll hear from Bob McGill from Leafs TV. Had a chance to chat with him throughout the game as well. And it's, to go back to the leadership thing, I don't mean to beat it to death, but it's one of those things, and it's an intangible. And I think, you know, very often, I think Dion Phaneuf, by getting the C so quickly, a lot of people pointed at that. And that's a tough thing to bear.
It is.
And Matt Sundin went through that. And Matt Sundin is an excellent leader. But when Gary Roberts was here and people like that and Joe Nieuwendyk that one year and whatever, it just takes those little pieces to change a dynamic that I think is obviously missing with this Toronto Maple Leafs team.
I believe so. The core, we talk about the core, and I know. And if you really look at the core, they're good hockey players. They're really good. You talk Phil Kessel, JVR, you know, part of that. You're talking, again, Dion, no matter what anybody says, if he's a quality top 30 defenseman in the National Hockey League. Don't, you know, but unfortunately, I just think slotted in the wrong position, but has to be there because there's no one else. And then you look at your bottom six, and I talked about that, Gord. As much, if your bottom six are the grinders, like your Frasers and King, and guys like that in L.A., or, you know, you got certain guys in Anaheim, you got certain guys in Phoenix, well, I shouldn't say Phoenix, but you got guys in Boston, you know, the Kellys, you know, guys like that, the Campbells. Those guys bring the same thing every day. They bring tempo, they bring physicality, and they bring determination. And am I trying to say that, you know, the guys that the Leafs have aren't the right fit for the guys that they have in their top six? And that's the problem. Your top six are soft. But they can score goals. There's no question about that. But if your bottom six aren't capable of getting to pucks and don't have the foot speed and the physicality to their game, then you don't wear the other opposition out. And if you're not wearing them out, that does not put your top six guys in a favorable position to be successful on a consistent basis.
You know, and again, I don't want to go back too far, no. But I go back to my era. And, well, and no, but because with Eddie Olczyk joining us, yes. About, and I don't want to bring up the John Kordick trade, for example, but it was a team with Eddie Olczyk, Vincent Domfus, Daniel Marois, Gary Lehman, about guys that there was growth in leadership, but also guys weren't physical enough up top. Guys like Mark Osborne were, whatever. So wrong moves were made, but then you had Wendell Clarkson and a few other guys, and just a change in culture that way. And that did it. But then the trade when you came over from Calgary and some of the other deals added the leadership part as well. So it's just, you know, again, I look at it that I thought with later on with Sundin and the other guys here and Tucker and whatever, they got some of that back. And this is, I just find it missing more than I thought.
Yeah. And that's the thing, and that's that grit. As much as we looked at it last year, were they really a tough team, or their three guys are really tough? Your Frazier, your McLaren, and your, well, Frazier, that the defenseman, and McLaren, and then Orr. And then they could engage the opposition, because there was a lot of guys that weren't, a lot of NHL guys weren't ready to play in the National Hockey League last year when it did come about. So you had some guys trying to set a tone, and certainly there was some fourth line guys that were getting in the lineup more often than you thought, or more minutes than you thought, Gordon. That way, that altercation. But we saw tonight that the Leafs don't want to, or the opposition didn't want to, not just tonight, but this year, didn't want to engage those guys because they wanted to play a physical game against those, you know, the rest of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And if they felt they could do that, they could win hockey games, and it's worked.
Yeah, I mean, last year it was basically three heavyweights, and you thought maybe it would have been a more physical culture around, but that's a part that hasn't materialized.
That's where the miss was. They thought they were a left tougher. They weren't a tough team. They were three guys tough.
Bob McGill will join us to kick off the next hour. We'll come back with more Leafs Nation postgame, a 4-2 loss to the Winnipeg Jets. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Talk about tonight's game until you're blue in the face. Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Getting the blue line is Wheeler, dropping it off to Ladd. Back to the blue line to Enstrom. He moves to the middle of the ice. Doesn't shoot it. Now does. Scores! Tobias Enstrom walked the blue line and got the shot away. And for the first time in the game, the Winnipeg Jets have the lead.
Well, can't call them highlights of tonight's game. If you're a Toronto Maple Leaf point of view, certainly from a Winnipeg Jets point of view, nice 4-2 win for them on the road here at Air Canada Centre. But for the Maple Leafs, we try to figure out what exactly went amiss today. Leafs Nation postgame continues. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Rick Natras on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Bob McGill from Leafs TV. And it's always a long day, enjoyable day. You're around here in the morning and throughout. And we're just... let me ask you a question.
Bobby's game today, too.
Yeah,
Bobby's been working like
so
a
I'm
dog.
I'm trying to think what angle to go at a bit. And one that Rick and I have picked up on is, you know, Dion Phaneuf being the captain. And you've been there through thick and thin as well. But claiming that he didn't think they got outworked. And it could be viewed as kind of a harmless thing that he's just really trying not to say anything. Where I'm just looking at it that, to me, I'm finding a leadership vacuum here, if that's what the leader's going to say. If there's not guys that can make sure you're going to work, if there's not a core of leaders that way. I mean, what's your take on it, Bob?
Yeah, that's, you know, we were up on the desk there on Leafs TV with our post-game show and heard Dion say that. And, you know, that's, you know, it's disheartening to see just because of the fact that, you know, at the end of the day, they got outworked in this hockey game. I mean, you've got a team that comes in below you as far as the overall points total, you know, in the league standings. They're out of the playoffs. You're clinging to, you know, on life support. And, you know, you need to have a bang-up hockey game to ensure yourself, you know, heading out on the road for the last three games of the season, that you've got something to continue to really fight for. And I didn't see that from this team tonight. And there wasn't the desperation there. They seemed to run out of gas. They didn't have the legs. And you know, I mean, at the end of the day, guys, you know, that whole thing that Randy Carlyle touched on right from the beginning of the season on, you know, working defensively without the puck is going to come back and nip us in the backside. And boy, oh boy, it's done it now as they've lost 9 of their last 11 games. And, I mean, glaringly tonight on a couple of different occasions, you know, the Winnipeg Jets look like the Harlem Globetrotters out there in the Leafs zone. And you know, to say that you weren't that you outworked the other team tonight is not a true statement to say if you're the captain of the hockey club.
I agree, Bobby, and I don't have, you know, I like Dion. I just think he's slotted in the wrong spot, but who else do you have? You know what I mean? So I just think that comment, to me, you get it from Dion that I don't think we got to work, then Bolin can say right off the start, I'll tell you we got to work. I don't know, I have a reason for it. This is what I talk about with how they look on the ice at times, and I don't mean about the work, about the inconsistency in one guy playing with another guy, or the, you know, reading plays rather than waiting and then reacting rather than anticipating. You know what I mean, Bobby? And that's what we've seen from the beginning, is that there's no – the chemistry as a whole, other than maybe the number one line, I didn't see it the rest of the game. You know, we saw a little bit of Gunnarsson and him at the beginning of the year. We've seen them struggle, and I think – but, I mean, you tell me anybody else that we've seen chemistry on a consistent basis that makes them either play better offensively or defensively.
No, you're absolutely right, Rick. And, I mean, you know, the number one line, you know, all three of those guys are going to, you know, need to see the chiropractor because they got sore backs from carrying this hockey club all year long. And, you know, you look at the second line with Nazem Kadri at the center ice position. You know, he gets his 20th goal tonight, and you know, Lupo's got 21 goals on the season, but you know,
not important ones.
I mean, you know, Naz got the overtime winner the other night. That's only his second game-winning goal of the season, and you know, when you want to be a top dog on your hockey club, you know, when there's important games on the line, you know, you need to have other guys to be counted on, and that hasn't transpired through the course of the season as that number one line. When you look at what's happened here in the last month, you know, they were held in check big time over the course of the last 12, 13, 14 hockey games. And who's been the person to step to the forefront to help them get over the hump and win some games? It hasn't been anybody. And as a result, they sit right now with the New Jersey Devils winning tonight, have dropped to 10th place in the standings. And it's really disheartening to see, no question, as everybody around Leaf Nation certainly thought, as you two guys sitting there, thought that a month ago that there was a shoe-in that the Maple Leafs were going to be playing some playoff games this spring again, and I certainly was one of those guys too. And for what's transpired has been real gut-wrenching to watch.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we were saying before the game, you can still lose the odd game when you put the effort in. That can still happen, but at least you got to put the effort in. Well, this one, there's no even debate about that, and to chat about it some more. And I'm looking at it, Bob, as well. I'm trying to remember my train of thought here when I was thinking about what was going on.
Like you were thinking defense, and you couldn't remember.
Yeah, no. We're talking about defense being a team game. But of late, and I don't want to single guys out, but no. I guess in a way, Dion Phaneuf on the ice, his plus-minus has really gone down the last number of weeks.
I think he's tired.
And he's a guy that was getting zero complaints this year, or other years he was kind of a bit of a whipping dog after games. And Carl Gunnarsson, when he was getting thrown around like a rag doll once this period, like he was the steady guy that is you know. So, I mean, when you're a defenseman and you look at those two guys in particular, have they got tired? Has their play tapered off? Or what's been your take?
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I mean, Dion, when you look about a month ago, I mean, I think he was up to plus 22 at one point.
He was, Bobby.
And he was minus 2 in tonight's hockey game, and he's down to a plus 3. And that's quite a swing over the course of, you know, a month of hockey. And when you look at what's transpired, you know, with the hockey club as far as wins and losses are concerned, he's front and center as far as, you know, being a guy on the ice for a lot of goals against through the course of this losing streak, and you know, them getting back on track the last couple games till again tonight. And, you know, it's something where he's played a lot of hockey this year, no question about it. But I think when they've employed this 7 defensemen, they've tried to spread it out a little bit more down the stretch here. But maybe for a couple of guys, it hasn't worked out very well. And, you know, I know, Dion... You know, I mean, Gunnarsson's still plus 15 or something going into the game tonight, so I don't know how that's kind of transpired, where Dion seems to be caught out on the ice too often and, ends up with the minuses as he has in the last month or so. But, you know, hey, it's a team game, and, you know, it's the goaltending was sparkling all season long, and in the last month it's been, you know, okay. And, you know, a couple of times... You know, they had a couple of brilliant games, and they won games. But through the course of that 8-game losing streak, there were some games where the goaltending wasn't up to the way it was that everybody was used to because of the way they played so strongly during the course of the season. But, this club as a whole, really, I think, when you look at the way they played defensively in that 48-game shortened season last year compared to the way they played defense this year, I mean, it's a complete, 180, and, they have to all look in the mirror and all take part of the blame for what's transpired here, because collectively as a team, they haven't been very well, very good defensively whatsoever, and it's really come back to bite them in a huge way.
Yeah, and, Bobby, and I believe it's the team, and again, we can, certain people have certain, guys on the team that they don't like, but again, the consistency of understanding and the communication factor, after a season this long, especially with Reimer the way he's doing, maybe I'm missing it, we're up so high you can't hear it, but it just seems like there's no communication in the defensive zone, handing off, from a forward to a defenseman or from a defenseman to, a forward in regards to taking a guy up to the hash mark, giving him to the winger, all that kind of stuff that we practice. And it was funny that you brought up a subject the other day, Calgary Flames, coming in here, already eliminated, were a couple months ago, and they're doing game day skates, they're doing 3-on-3 down lows, and you felt that, maybe there should have been more of that being going on over the course of the year, and we're not, if teams that are out and trying to still teach, I think that's been a bigger factor for the Toronto Maple Leafs, the inability to keep guys, contained on a cycle and different things like that.
Well, you're right, Rick. And, I mean, look at the goals tonight. I mean, Tobias Enstrom's power play goal, a bit of a seeing-eye shot where Reimer was screened and couldn't see. But the first goal, Brian Little scores. It's down low below the goal line, and it's two defensemen, and there was no forwards for the Maple Leafs anywhere in sight. So it's a 3-on-2 down low. It ends up in the back of your net. Then you've got a 2-on lead after Kadri gets the gift. And, Van Riemsdyk gets the puck first. He's got lots of time to chip the puck out. He doesn't get it out. And then on the goal,
He loses his D, yeah.
You know, it's like everybody is watching their man and they have no idea where the puck is. And, you know, same with the fourth goal. You know, Bolin turns it over, and then he's standing beside Jokinen, and then they start watching the puck, and Jokinen just gets by himself, and you've got four or five, you know, blue sweaters staring at the puck and not watching their man, and it ends up in the back of the net. And, you know, it's I can't imagine how Randy Carlyle feels.
I mean,
you know, because, you know, as a coach, and I mean, hey, you've coached, I've coached, and, you know, you talk till you're blue in the face about things and show video and go over things, and the players just aren't doing it. And it's defensive hockey is a will. It's not a skill. And,
attaboy.
You know, the will for them to do it throughout the entire season this year has really caught up in the last month, and it's, you know, the snowball started rolling down the hill, and they haven't been able to put the brakes on it to stop it. And as a result, I know it's not official, but for them to make the playoffs right now, they're going to need a couple of miracles, no question about it.
Well, we're benefiting from the will and the skill of McGill, Bob McGill.
No. Oh, that's why he wanted to go, Bobby. I thought it was a great quote.
TV. That was I liked it. And, you know, Rick and I were talking earlier about you want to get a personality for a team. And last year they maybe force-fed it, but it seemed to work the whole toughness thing. Colton Orr, yep. McLaren, Mark Fraser, that – other teams are afraid of them. Now, this year they figured it out, which is fine.
Don't engage
them. But you would have thought if you're trying to incorporate that last year, and that's, you know, Randy Carlyle likes that on his team. Certainly Brian Burke liked that on his team and Nonis and that, that there would be more team toughness in its stead. And I guess there isn't. So whatever it was kind of all or nothing. This isn't a tough team.
Well, and they've become easy to play against. And I think that's, you know, something where, you know, in the off season, I think that, you know, especially on the backside, I think they need to try to see if they can instill or inject somebody in there that, you know, makes people a little bit afraid when they come in across the Toronto Maple Leaf blue line with somebody with a little bit more sandpaper. But, you know, those guys are hard to find. But I think, you know, when you talk about last year and that toughness factor, you know, every team around the league had two and, you know, one or two or three different guys that were those tough guys. And when the cap dropped this year, a lot of teams eliminated those guys, and that's really what happened. But the lightning rod for getting things going on most nights for the Maple Leafs last year was one Leo Komarov. And if I'm the Toronto Maple Leafs, I know that they certainly have expressed interest that they would love to have him come back. And I think when you saw what he did at the Olympic Games this year in Sochi, I would think that, you know, and he's talked like he'd like to come back to North America. And he would like to, you know, maybe play for the Maple Leafs. Obviously, it's going to come down to how much money he wants to, make. He'll be an unrestricted free agent come July 1st. So they've got up until then, you know, to see if they can get him under contract again. And I would expect that they're going to try and do that because he brings a couple of different dimensions that they don't have on this hockey club right now. And, you know, maybe, you know, a guy like that can turn some things around. And I know it's only one player, but when you take an important ingredient out of your hockey club,
grit.
It's tough to replace sometime, and they've had a hard time replacing that.
And grit. And well, he brings grit.
We got the will, the skill, and it's always a thrill. Bob McGill. How about that?
Gotta love it, Gordo.
There you go.
Well, you do. You can hang up now, Bobby, and I got to stick with him for another
mean?
45 minutes,
good.
Okay?
Okay. Thanks a lot, Robert.
Thanks, Bobby.
Gentlemen,
we'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure, as always.
Thanks,
we'll talk
Bob
to
McGill.
You soon, Bob.
Always appreciate it. Always very accommodating. Hey, let's hear from Dion Phaneuf.
Okay.
I know we've got a bunch of tape there.
Can I just say one thing right here? And this is another
what
quote.
What if I said
from,
no?
Randy. Well, I'm going to go anyways.
Okay, well, that's what I mean, so don't ask me.
Carlyle says, Leafs only rely on skill, often rely on skill instead of work ethic. At times it seems to want to complicate it. We seem to want to complicate it.
Yeah.
Right there. You know what I mean? Perfect. It's,
well, and again, to go back to Dion, we're always saying you don't have to throw anybody under the bus.
No,
Cliff Fletcher was great at just shooting the breeze.
Yeah.
Right? Like he didn't whatever. He didn't sugarcoat. He didn't whatever. Well, but just be honest. That's all.
So well, that's what I was trying to say to David Alter. It's like, come on. Do you think 20,000 people plus the many people in press row, plus all the people on the phone, are saying that we didn't get out. The Leafs didn't get outworked. Come on. Well, it's like, that's what I'm saying. That's what bothers me.
Having a kid and they get a, get an F in an assignment.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
You're saying
it wasn't their fault because
I didn't know
I had to read the whole book.
Well, whatever it may be.
But
boy.
No, but my point is, you go back to the first 15 games, Gord, and what was the response by every player? Oh, we'll pick up the defensive side later. Right now, where things are rolling and we're good and we're great. Well, now you're not scoring 5 goals a game, and you're still getting 40 shots a game against. You know what I mean? So, again, certain things have changed. Not the things that you thought were going to change, the things that everybody else thought was, can it change?
Let's hear from the Toronto Maple Leaf captain. After tonight's 4-2 loss to Winnipeg, here's Dion Phaneuf.
I think that we got off to the start that we wanted, and when they score that late goal to tie it up, we kept coming, and then they score and retake the momentum with their power play goal. I don't think... I feel that the momentum shifted probably in the second, and they just kept coming. So it's disappointing to – we start well. We talked about starting well. We've talked about wanting to have better starts. We did that tonight, and we just – we didn't sustain it.
Do you feel you were outworked?
Pardon me?
Do you think you were outworked?
I think that they played hard. I don't think we were outworked. I think we were working hard, but sometimes we made some mistakes that were costly mistakes.
Final regular season home game. Fans start booing 10 minutes left, start throwing cups on the ice when you guys skate off. I mean, do you blame them for being a little disgruntled?
We've got passionate fans. They're upset, as are we. We're just as frustrated, and they obviously they voice their displeasure, and that's part of playing in a passionate market where we have the fans that we have that are passionate about the game.
How do you put this behind you, Dion, and get ready for the next game?
Yeah, you have to park it. You can't. It's disappointing. We know where things are at. We know where we're at, and these are they're crucial points for us.
Are you starting to sink in that you guys are likely to fall short?
You don't think that way until the final game's played. So you guys can have your opinions on it and whatnot, but we've still got games left to play.
There's a sense of surprise maybe that the game played out that way, considering the positive vibes coming in, a couple wins, playing at home.
Pardon me?
Was there a sense of surprise that the game played out that way? Positive vibes coming in?
We felt good about some of the things that we were doing. We played a couple good games at home, got feeling good. We win that big game against Boston in overtime. And we came out and we started the way that we wanted to start it. They kept coming. It's a 2-2 game, and they get that... that 3-2 goal, and we couldn't recover.
Well, Dion Phaneuf, after tonight's 4-2 loss to the Winnipeg Jets, Gord Stellick, Rick Natras welcoming you back to Leafs Nation postgame. Terry Koshin joining us from the Toronto Sun Media, covers the Leafs in the National Hockey League. And, Terry, we've kind of picked up on this, whether, you know, Dion keeps it pretty straight. You get his quotes, and he doesn't really deviate too much for things to be controversial. But just the line to believe, whether he really believes or not, but to say that he felt they worked hard, just things didn't go right, is incredibly perplexing.
Well, it is, and you know, anybody who watched the game tonight, and whether you know a lot about hockey or not, could pick up on the fact that that was not the case. And not only that, Gord, but that was a lone voice in the dressing room. James Reimer said he didn't have an explanation for it. Dave Bolin said he didn't have an explanation for it. Phil Kessel, who never, I shouldn't say never, but very rarely talks to reporters after the game, said that they outplayed us. Carlisle mentioned it a few times in his post-game scrum. So, you know, I would think that, what are we, 79 games into this now, 3 to go, and, you know, you'd like to think that coming from the top, i.e. the captain in the dressing room, there's a little bit of a harder look in the mirror. Perhaps it's one of those things where, you know, he'll get home tonight and have a look at it and realize that that was the case. But it is perplexing, like you say. It's a good word for it.
Yeah, and this is where, you know, I wonder, you know, there's all year it's been like that. We talk about the first 15 games, they had a lot of success. They're scoring goals at will, and then they're giving up chances like crazy. But the answer was always, don't worry. We know what's going on. We'll fix that down the road. Well, we're 79 games. We're not scoring. The only thing that's changed is they're not scoring the way they used to before because the number one line certainly is, you know, being shut down on most nights. And then, but you're still giving up the opportunity. So this reality, I don't think, is set in for most guys, and unfortunately it's going to set in too late.
Yeah, it's going to set in on April 14th when they're cleaning out their lockers and heading home for the summer. It's you know, it's you're not scoring the goals at will or however you want to put it, Rick. And you know, you're not, the other thing that's not happening now is, and you're not getting the goaltending. And I'm still one of these people that doesn't think it's necessarily the fault of Jonathan Bernier, who's now hurt and done, and James Reimer is to come in and try to mop this up. When you have that same type of defensive play in front of you for 79 games, and I assume for three more now, you're asking your goalie. It doesn't matter who the goaltender is. I mean, thinking about Johnny Bauer, wrote a great video tribute tonight in there in his prime. You're asking for too much out of your goaltenders, I think. And when you're facing, you know, upward of more than 35 shots a game on average, it gets to be ridiculous. And these guys can only do so much. And you know, it's. It is, you know, you go back to that word perplexing, Gord. I mean, I think that from the coaching staff, there was a realization that these things were happening. They're certainly not blind to it. But on the other side of that coin, there's been no ability to fix it. And, we'll see what happens here once the season's done.
Yeah, you know, Tim Lywicki saw him behind, dressed rather casual, but they're in the second row. And I don't know how much you get to deal with him, but when he does, he's very accommodating. He's very media friendly that way. You know, he likes making a big splash. He's made a big splash with the other teams. And I'm curious, if it comes to coaching, if Dave Nonis wants Carlisle to stay, which I think he a good chance he would, there might be less a chance Lywicki will. And Lywicki is not unafraid to flex his muscle if they don't make the playoffs.
Yeah, I'll be stunned if there isn't something done. And whether that's Nonis or Carlisle, or if those two gentlemen keep their jobs, then something with this roster, trade-wise. And you look at it and say, well, how can they do that with so many players tied up in long-term contracts, a lot of money? And, you know, obviously we see the amount of scouts here every night. It's not like this is happening in a vacuum. Other NHL teams are seeing what's going on here and, you know, might not necessarily be lining up at the door at gate two to be trading for some of these guys. But I would still imagine that something large would be done in that sense in the off season. But at this point right now, when you have a team that hasn't learned or hasn't had the capability to learn over the course of the season, getting back, Rick, to what you were saying about that first 15 games and how we'll be okay, well, they haven't been. Some shoe has to drop at some point. And it's not, to me, is it trading Joffrey Lupul or Jake Gardner in the offseason? There might have to be more than that here.
Yeah. And you know what? And I brought up a point that since, I think, Ron Wilson, 08-09, if I'm not mistaken, they've been minus goals for, goals against, minus 30, minus 50, minus 30. You know, only last year, because their PK was so much better than it has been in the last decade, it seems. Yeah. That they were a plus hockey team, but we're seeing another minus season when it comes to goals for, goals against. And I'm just saying the mentality of that has gone through two coaches, and pretty much it started because the coach before Wilson couldn't do it as well. Mm-hmm. But they don't want to be called, you know, a rush team.
Who was here tonight?
Yeah, they don't want to be called a rush team, right? And I don't see anything other than one and done, and that's what I see, isolation, and I see the lack of, the more of the commitment to hope you score rather than stopping the other team from scoring. Meaning every situation to a lot of these forwards, be it for 8 years, six, 7 years, excuse me, has always been go west, young man, and don't worry about coming back east again. You know what I mean? When it comes to the back check. And that's a mentality that's gone through different players, different coaches, but we still have certain amount of players that have been through those same things. So when do you actually say, you know, he's incapable, we need somebody to be capable? And that's what confuses me.
Well, I think there might be, you know, you'd have to think that with this core having stayed the same, there is that realization there from up top, but as I said earlier, with these contracts now, what do you do to fix that? They kind of painted themselves into a corner here with a lot of this, and you know, it's a curious thing for me because, you know, last season I know that the puck possession wasn't great either, but there was a different style of play. We saw what they were capable of doing on the forecheck, and yeah, there was a lot of maybe the fighting and that sort of thing, but it was a tough building to come into and play. And yes, again, recognize that it was a 48-game schedule, so you didn't have the amount of games, and the predictions were that if this had been a full 82-game schedule, that they would have run into trouble by the end and wouldn't have made the playoffs. But they seem to be going somewhat in a better direction, but all of that has come back off now this year. And, you know, it's certainly not because they lost Leo Komarov to the Continental Hockey League. I mean, he's a great hockey player. I thought he was, had a real impact on this mm-hmm. team. There's certainly a lot more to it than that. And that's part of it that's, you know, that should be confusing to a lot of people, that you did see signs of it last year and good things coming of it. Rick, you mentioned the penalty kill. Where's that gone? You know, a lot of the personnel
Why,
is
yeah.
still the same. And, you know, it is, like we say, you keep going back to the word, perplexing. It's very and frustrating as well for the people watching this. With they did have the tease of the playoffs last year, and it was just for three home games, but they saw what this team could be capable of and what was going on in the city at the time.
Yeah, I mean, this city is so over ready to party. I mean, they would have shut down after just a playoff win, and
yeah.
that, you know, a lot of teams. So that's one. That doesn't mean you get instant success. And it's funny, Komarov and Bob McGill's huge on Leo Komarov.
Me too, Gordon.
I know,
about,
but oh, it, you know, the Hart Trophy absence always does that. But you know, it makes it when you're losing, you think he's the one guy that could be difference maker. But I look at with the Raptors. And on the basketball side, it wasn't so much Vince Carter in that. Mm-hmm. That was the one wave. The next wave is they lost guys like Garbajosa got hurt,
yeah.
Carlos Delfino, and Jason Capone was the three-point specialist. They had these guys that were, you know, role players, and they all went at once.
Mm-hmm.
And Garbajosa was like Komarov. He was the greasy, oily guy out there that just did dirty stuff
yeah.
that didn't matter on whatever,
yeah.
brute force, ugly, whatever it may be. And Leo had a bit of that.
Well, the thing about Komarov, too, was you talked to guys last season that after practice, they'd come off face and go, you know, he hits through on and plays in practice.
Yeah.
And we get mad at him. You know, and he was, you know, there was been around this team for quite a few years now. And no better Leaf I've seen that could get something going and would drive opponents crazy because there was no reaction at all.
No, his face.
So many times he would be chased down the ice, whether it was after a whistle or not, face off down at the other end. And he'd have a guy in his ear the whole way, and he wouldn't even blink. Like the guy didn't.
Like he
exist.
Couldn't understand English
right.
or whatever
and
language they were talking.
He certainly
could. No,
the man speaks
yeah,
five
no,
languages.
Say,
he knew
yeah.
exactly
no,
what he said.
Yeah.
They missed that jam, that grit, that attitude, really. And,
or that guy that every good team has that gets under
yeah.
your skin, can go up to check yeah. the top line guys and get them off their game by just even not talking to them,
yeah.
just how they play against them.
And you know what, guys, too? It's I think we should take into consideration some of the things that weren't foreseen, obviously. And I think the biggest one, clearly, is the ankle injury to
yes.
Dave Boland. I mean, if you have him, yeah, if you have him healthy for 82 games or close to it, because not every
different.
You know, they have two guys who can play all 82 games this year in Kessel and Raymond, but it is different. He makes an impact. You know, nobody expected Clarkson to have this season,
mm-hmm.
at least of all himself. And even if you get 50% more from him, and not even the Clarkson that we got to know so well in New Jersey, I think that the results are a lot different. I know it's a lot of ifs, but you can't underestimate taking Boland out of the lineup for essentially the whole season.
No, and I agree, and we talked about that. That adds that element. And we talk about a guy like Komarov that is, you know, wanted $3 million, and then you see some guys that are making that kind
yeah.
of money and what kind of impact. And nothing. And I don't want to specifically, but Kulman, to me, a lot of praise by certain individuals, but I don't see it. I'm not mm-hmm. seeing it. I think, you know, certain players have a time limit, as I did as a player, and it's time to move on. I guess you don't only appreciate them when they're gone, right, and as we're talking about. But I think Komarov, you appreciated just the money value at the time. You didn't think it was worth it. But
yeah.
now, if again, that word if we could do it all over again, I think that's one of the moves that they'd like to say. But again, the Leafs, I feel this tendency for years to not want willingness to not play well in their own end
mm-hmm.
Is really, you know, it's a culture that certainly they can't seem to snap.
Well, in a willingness too, but even you watch a game like tonight and it just kind of rams home that they're just unable
can't.
To.
Yeah, well, yeah, that
you
willingness
know,
and can't, yeah.
Like, Carla made the point a few times of, you know, five guys have a chance to clear and it doesn't happen. And, you know, the
take
goal,
a penalty,
the
yep.
Trouba goal there at the end of the first period,
JVR had the puck on the wall.
We play along the wall, and then it just, you know, FNUF chasing on the first one. I mean, I know it's ground you guys have covered, but it's just in a game 79 that it's so bloody important for these things to be happening when you realize, okay, wait a minute, there isn't the talent to, say, to just stop it and keep it from happening. It's trouble.
Terry, always appreciate your time.
Thanks, Terry.
Thanks, guys.
Terry Koshin joining us from the Toronto Sun. Of course, you can read his coverage tomorrow and covering the NHL and the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll come back with more Leafs Nation postgame. A 4-2 loss to the Winnipeg Jets tonight. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Cord Stellick, Rick Natras here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
The game is the meal. We're the after-dinner drinks. Pour yourself a cold one. Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Boland trying to work it out. Couldn't get it past the blue line. Now Wheeler in with a pass. That was partially blocked. Centering pass. They score! Olli Jokinen scores to make it 4-2.
And in all likelihood, the last goal to be scored at Air Canada Centre this season will be by Olli Jokinen. 4-2 is how it finished. The Jets over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Gord Stellick, Rick Natras welcoming you back to Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Rick will hear from Phil Kessel and some of the other Leafs. We'll get your keys to the game and see how those played out and did not play out. I can guess. But a quick look at the out-of-town scores.
Sure. L.A., Vancouver after two periods. Well, about 3 minutes to go in the second. It's nothing-nothing. 15 minutes to go in the second. Nashville, San Jose. Nashville up 1-0. Finals. Boston 5-2 over Philadelphia this afternoon. Final, Colorado 4-0 over St. Louis. Big win for Colorado. Final, in a shootout, Washington beats New York Islanders. Final, of course, Winnipeg over Toronto 4-2. Final, Montreal 5, Detroit 3. And again, final, Dallas 5, Tampa Bay 2. Another final, Ottawa beats New York Rangers 3-2. And then you've got New Jersey over Carolina 3-1 and Minnesota over Pittsburgh, which I said are struggling, 4-0. 23rd time Crosby in his career has been shut out with no shots, with no points.
Well, as you mentioned, the Penguins looking to get back on track for the playoffs. The Maple Leafs now just looking for a way to get in the playoffs, and that took a big step backwards tonight. Let's hear from Phil Kessel.
Where did this game get away from you guys?
You know, I think they outplayed us. They were fast, as you guys could tell, and we need to play better.
Is there any explanation for how that could happen in a game so important? You guys were feeling good coming in, having won two in a row at home.
I don't know. You can answer that.
Is it starting to sink in here that it's going to be another year out of the playoffs for the Leafs?
Oh, you never know. We still have 3 games left. We're going to play hard, and you know. Whatever happens, happens here.
Do you understand the frustration from the fans at the end there, though?
You know what? I don't want to comment on that right now.
How tough is it to regroup now, obviously? Last Saturday, it seemed pretty well.
You know, obviously, it's disappointing. And, you know, we need to have better.
Well, Phil Kessel. Which one's that?
The 5 offensive zone faceoffs compared to 26 in the defensive zone.
Wow, big difference. So at even strength, 5 offensive zone faceoffs compared to 26 in the defensive zone. Yeah, Phil Kessel, I mean, he's
frustrated, and he doesn't want to be totally honest, but I think how do you say you don't know why you didn't come out today, but we're not done yet, we've got 3 games to go, and we'll give it everything we got. You go. I think you answered the question,
lip service.
Really not answering it, right? So.
Well, Dave Bolin, we heard a little bit from him earlier on clips. Let's hear a little bit more from him as well. He suffered a little bit of a tweak there, went off and was laboring a bit. Here's Dave Bolin after tonight's loss.
Dave, when did this game get away from you guys?
I don't know. Couldn't tell you when it got away from us, but I think we got it worked.
How surprised are you that the game played out that way, considering the positive vibes coming in the last home game?
Yeah, things go positive, but when you play another team that's competing, they're going to compete. So you see what happened tonight.
Did you feel they were hungrier? Is that kind
of you can sort of see them down low with the puck, and when they were getting that puck in deep, they were hungry.
Is there any explanation like that you can think of that makes any sense for how that could happen tonight?
I don't have an explanation, no.
Do you think things kind of turned? Was it that you felt like it might not be your night?
I couldn't tell you which part it was.
Were you healthy tonight? You didn't seem to get a lot of ice time.
Yeah. What Randy wants to do is it's Randy's decision. He's a coach, and you obey by it. So it's the way it goes. If that's what it takes, and that's what it takes. We're a team here, and if you're sitting one night, or if you're doing anything another night, you stick as a team, and you bound together.
Dave, can you understand some of the frustration you heard from the fans as the time wore down?
Yeah, for sure.
We had 9 minutes, 15 seconds. There was a play where he went down and got hurt a bit, but.
No, it's interesting. Again, the coach is the coach, and I believe, Randy Carlisle has done everything humanly possible, I think, to try to get these guys going. But, that Bolin is a guy that certainly, two out of 4 years won Stanley Cups, right? Well, gets the winning goal. Does he know what it takes to win? I think he does. Has he told guys? I think he has. But do other guys feel that, his advice isn't warranted? Well, there might be a problem with that itself.
Well, let's hear always accommodating goaltender James Reimer. He had 41 shots in total tonight.
James, how surprised were you that this game turned out the way it did play out, considering all the positive vibes coming into it, having won a couple in a row and playing at home here?
Yeah, it's unfortunate we lost. We got three big games coming up, and so... We'll just evaluate this game and improve on the things we need to get better at. But, I thought we battled hard for parts of the game and it worked, but just wasn't in the cards tonight. So we'll regroup and have a good one against Tampa.
For a team that was trying to get in the playoffs, there just didn't seem to be a lot of desperation in the game tonight by you guys.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean... I don't know if I can't really give you an explanation for how it appeared. You can come up with maybe a couple of excuses or something like that. But obviously it's been somewhat stressful a couple of weeks, and maybe it just got up to us where you're just kind of, maybe there wasn't much left of the tank. I'm not quite sure. But I know in our heads we wanted it, but maybe it didn't show out there. But obviously we knew how big this game was, and we wanted to go out there and play well.
How frustrating and embarrassing is it to be booed off the ice in the final home game?
It's frustrating, but I mean, talking about the fans, I mean, obviously we've all been fans before, and you expect so much, from your team, and you want to win so badly that when things don't go your way, and maybe if you feel that they didn't give it their all, which wasn't the case here, we just didn't have enough. But when you feel that way, I think you feel gypped, and so they're the one paying the tickets; they have the right to do whatever they want.
James Reimer, and let's squeeze in the coach.
Out of juice. I mean, emotion should carry you. This is what this time of year, Gord, and the playoffs is all about emotion, and that carries you through injuries, it carries you through fatigue, and it seems to be a good excuse.
Well, it worked for Winnipeg tonight. Let's find out Randy Carlisle. He used to coach the Manitoba Moose and played for the Winnipeg Jets. Here he is.
End of the first, where we give up a goal with 2 seconds left. I think, we had a fortunate bounce on a power play to give us a 2-1 lead. I think the Kadri goalie, you'd have to say, it was a fortunate bounce that went our way. And, it just seemed like we were a flat hockey club. From that point, we chased the game. And we didn't seem to have any energy as a group. And that's the way I saw it. And it seemed like we were chasing the game, the pace of the game. They won more one-on-one battles than we did, that's for sure.
Randy, how do you explain that flatness in a game where you're desperate to win a hockey game?
I wish I had the answer. Is it your night, the lack of energy? Is it your night where we seemed we couldn't make two passes? We must have had five opportunities to get that puck out of the zone on the one shift, and we didn't get it out. Five different people had an opportunity to control the puck and to make a play with it, and we just couldn't get it out. And those are the things and then everything kind of snowballed from there.
Has this team ever stopped befuddling you, or do they remain somewhat of an enigma to you this season?
Well, we seem to find ways to always wonder what the heck is going on. Why? What's going on there? Why are we reacting in that manner? And that's the frustrating part for us is that when we are able to execute and our work ethic is strong, that we're a hockey club that can give teams difficulty and play to a high level. But our consistency level is, it goes from game to game and sometimes period to period.
Well, Randy Carlisle, head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, you always wrap up. Rick Natras gives his keys to the game, which he gave on Leafs Nation pregame. And we go over how those played out, but we think we have a good idea.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll keep it short and sweet because that's about it. Can't cut them any worse than they've already been cut. There's not much blood left there. Match the Winnipeg intensity. I thought the first period they could have set the tone and they allowed Winnipeg to get into the game, and then we know how that resulted after. They really wanted to eliminate the Toronto Maple Leafs, and they proved it tonight. They showed that through their intensity for a team that's not in the playoffs. Keep feet moving late in the game. We didn't see that. We didn't see it in the second period. We didn't see it in the third. We saw a little bit of it into the first, but I didn't. For the most part, they were standing still, and a lot of passes and shots were being intercepted or blocked because of that fact that they were standing still and not opening up new lanes. Discipline, third man, both ends. We saw how the goal was scored, certainly by Jokinen, and you look at puck guys and turning pucks over and then not picking up guys to the net. And unfortunately, that was something that third man high got caught. We saw odd man rushes way too often, as we normally do. So the first one, again, three keys to success is match Winnipeg's intensity. Unfortunately, they didn't do that. Two, keep feet moving late in the game. I was hoping that they'd have a lead going into the third, and that's why we wanted to use that one. But unfortunately, they stopped moving their feet for most of the night. And discipline third man, both ends. That means the third guy not getting caught for odd man rushes and the third guy taking away that high slot pass, and we know how that worked out.
Well, the keys to the game now are win them all, the final three, and then see what happens. It's a deep hole. They've dug themselves once again. 4-2, the Winnipeg Jets defeat the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll be back at it Tuesday as the team heads down Florida way. You've been listening to Leafs Nation pregame. That was before the game. This is Leafs Nation postgame.
Good night,
a lot
everybody.
Of people have been listening through the whole thing, so thank
you
for that.
Good.
It was better than the game.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, usually is.
Gord yes, Stelic, it is. Rick You're Nantes. Awesome always, Gord. I'm trying to keep up, but I'm trying to
keep up. Keep trying.
Good luck, I know.
Live the
Bye-bye.
Dream.
Live the dream. It is with you and Matty.
You've been listening to Leafs Nation postgame with Gord Stelic and Rick Natras. Brought to you by your local GTA Acura retailers. Visit yours today.